Rice is eaten by over 3 billion people. It accounts for one-fifth of the calories consumed across the world on a daily basis, and in some Asian countries such as Cambodia and Bangladesh, that figure leaps as high as 70%. Many of the major rice-producing countries are able to achieve near self-sufficiency when it comes to meeting the demand for rice amongst their own population. This means that the majority of rice grown in the world never makes it onto the world market. But in recent years, the price of rice that has been traded has continued to rise, so much so that it's doubled since 2001. Following the food price spike of 2008, other staple foods such as maize and wheat have fallen back to their pre-spike prices, but the cost of rice has proven more stubborn. So much so that this month ODI released a report into the end of cheap rice. I sat down with one of the report's authors, Steve Wiggins, to take a closer look at the report and to try and identify what higher rice prices might mean for poverty reduction efforts across Asia and Africa. I began by asking an obvious question. Are people eating more rice?
People aren't eating more rice. Indeed, prosperity in Asia is actually seeing rice consumption ahead, actually going down. If you look at the Chinese statistics on this, rural people in China just a few years ago would have been eating 150 kgs of rice a year. That's an awful lot of rice. And today it's below about 100 kgs per person a year. As people get richer, they diversify their diets, they eat more interesting foods. Rice is there, of course it is, but there's lots of other good stuff there as well. So it isn't any increase in consumption.
So if rice consumption in Asia is falling, why are prices going up?
No, we've had a look at, you know, why the rice price has remained so much higher than what it was only, 2005, 8 years ago. And we think it comes down to two or three factors. Now, some of those factors are temporary changes to markets coming from government policies and circumstances. Just to give you three examples of that, in late 2007, the Indian government banned the exports of cheap rice. Anything but the highest quality basmati couldn't be exported from India. And that was in place through to 2011. And that took India out of the exporting nations. And India is a major exporter and has only recently returned to exporting cheap rice, modest quality rice, in the way that it did in the past. China, alarmed by what happened in 2008, has tried to boost its domestic stores, its publicly held domestic stores of rice. And that's taken rice that might have been exported and attracted a certain amount of imports into China to replace the rice going into store. And last but not least on these temporary factors is the new Thai government, or the Thai government that came in 2 years ago, backed by the farmers. Well, they took a long-standing policy of public guarantees to buying in rice from farmers, but they increased the price at which they would buy in from farmers at well above the world market price. With the result, huge amounts of rice has been taken into public store in Thailand and not exported. And Thailand, of course, in the past was the world's largest rice exporter. And it's lost that position now to the Vietnamese, to the Indians, and so on.
Stocks can only grow so large. If stock increases are temporary, what is it that has really tipped the balance?
What really intrigues us is what we think are structural changes that will last and perhaps increase in the future. And the structural changes is costs of production of rice are going up. Now, some of that may be that as we need more rice in the world, we have to produce rice from lower potential areas. You know, we run out of the easily irrigated, fertile delta lands of Asia, and we move to more marginal production areas, and costs of production go up. But more important than that, we have a rising oil price, and with the oil price goes up the price of nitrogenous fertilizer, goes up the cost of running machinery, so that pushes up production costs. And finally, and most intriguing of all, there has been a dramatic rise in farm wages in some parts of Asia since the mid-2000s. It's particularly notable for both India and China. You know, we're talking about wage rises where over a period of 5 years, we're seeing rural wages going up by 25%, 30% or more. Serious and sustained rises in rural wages. That, of course, is something that pushes up the costs of production of rice, but it's very good news because farm labouring has often been a major form of income for some of the poorest people anywhere in the world.
So potentially good news for those who are working the farm harvesting the rice. Bad news, though, presumably for those who are reliant on cheap rice for the mainstay of their diets.
Yes. Now, who are the people who will really lose out? The first thing we have to note is that in India and China, to a certain extent, we note the same trends in Indonesia, in Thailand, Bangladesh, in other parts of Asia. For those people where jobs are being created and wages are going up, the additional cost of rice will be relatively trivial. A simple calculation says that at most, we're talking about an increase in people's rice bills that may be $3 per week. Now, for anybody with a decent job, which is getting paid better, this is a trivial increase in the cost of living. The worrying thing are those people who live in those lagging parts of Asia, where there are poor people who are not getting the benefits of the industrialization, the new manufacturing jobs, the urbanization, and so on. So we're thinking about dryland India, some parts of the Deccan Plateau of India. We're talking about Western China and such other areas there. We're also talking about those parts of Africa where rice is imported on a large scale and has come to make up a large part of the diet of poor people living in urban areas. And above all, that's coastal West Africa. You know, it's people who are poor living in a city like Dakar, Senegal, who become used to relatively cheap rice from Asia and are seeing the cost of that rice rising. Those are the people who are going to lose out from this.
Is there a role that governments should be playing to help people adapt to these increasing prices?
Two things that government should be doing. One is that when you get periods of rapid economic change, such as we're seeing in Asia, some people will always lose out. So you need social protection nets. Now, what is interesting is that in both India and China, the two giants of the continent, we are seeing proliferating social protection schemes. So, for example, in India, an employment program called the National Rural Employment Guarantee Program swung into operation in 2007. So nobody who's able to work will be deprived of work at a low basic wage should they wish to go out and work. That is now on statute in India. India is also bringing in at the moment a new food security bill that will subsidize a certain ration of basic foods to a level not previously seen in India. There are worries about how expensive that is, obviously, are, but it just shows that the governments are taking that kind of social protection very seriously. In China, the provisions of cheap medical care, public employment, and so on have been rolled out and enhanced across China. The qualification level of low income has been raised to bring more people under that social protection. All that has been done in the last 5 years. The Chinese government is very alive to the social implications of this, and for people who are losing out, there is increased public provision to take care of them. So social protection is one thing that is needed to compensate people who lose out from change. Now, coastal West Africa, it's much more difficult for the governments there to come up with such schemes. They're not in prosperous, fastest expanding economies, even if those economies are beginning to grow at rates we haven't seen before, but they're still not at the sorts of levels that we've seen in China and parts of Southeast Asia and so on. The second thing that governments can do, of course, is facilitate adjustment. Now, if you take coastal West Africa, higher world prices of rice are initially, of course, a threat. They're a disadvantage. In the longer run, they're a tremendous stimulus to the farmers of coastal West Africa to produce traditional foods of West Africa, such as cassava, yam, millet, and sorghum, to replace imported rice. There's an obvious market opportunity for substitution. And in those parts of West Africa which are well adapted to producing rice, and remember that some countries, Guinea, Sierra Leone, Liberia, is one of the hearthlands of rice production in the world. In those areas, there's a tremendous opportunity to grow rice locally, replace the imports and begin to export to countries like Nigeria.
For now then, the end of cheap rice is a tale of winners and losers. The challenge for governments and others in West Africa in particular is to try and turn it into a win-win situation.